like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the CCI call on the 6th of March, 2012. On the call today, we have Cheryl Longdonnell, Holly Wright, Carlos Aguirre, Jonathan Robinson, Tobias Mahler, Steve Del Bianco, and Rosemary Sinclair. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Julie Headland, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. And we have an apology from John Berard. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks, Natalie. If we just have a look at the proposed agenda, we've got the roll call, review of open action items, review of our draft for Costa Rica and any other business. Is there anything anyone wants to add or change on that agenda?
Nope.
Good. In that case, we might go to the action item, Barry.
Thank you, Rosemary. This is Barry. Basically, the action here was to scrub the applicant guidebook and look for any requirements of registries to post the conditions of their registration on their site or any other materials. I've scrubbed it several times, and the only thing that I can find where this comes into play is basically what Steve has mentioned in the past, and that's with respect to community-based applications, especially in which where the RDDS is invoked. Outside of that, I haven't seen any specific language within the guidebook itself, the application, nor the registry agreement that states that the conditions of registration be posted on, you know, X. So if there aren't any other questions, I'm hoping that we can close this out. And to be honest, I'm kind of surprised it doesn't list anything in there, but hence why we have the metric identified.
Okay. Thanks for that, Barry. Steve's wanting to say something. Okay.
Hey, thanks, Rosemary. Barry, thanks for that research so far. And Rosemary, I wanted to ask the whole group that we want Barry to get the answer to that, but whatever the answer is, we would still have advice that that metric be included, because it's really what we need to do to achieve the choice, regardless of whether it's in the agreements, right?
Yes, yes. That's the way I see it, that the metric should be included as a measurement, even if it is, as you say, in the agreement. Yep.
Yep. Great.
That changes us needing the metric. Okay.
And, Rosemary, this is Barry. If I may continue just for a brief moment. There is an action that I didn't have listed here, and this is the submission of the draft advice letter for translation that has been submitted. I'm hopeful this week that we'll at least get our Spanish translation in preparation for Costa Rica. I don't have a time schedule as to yet for the other translations, and the only thing to take note here is upon the last language that is translated, that will dictate the closing of our public comment period. So once I have that schedule out, I will send out to the list and just take note that it may impact our proposed schedule that we have listed down here, especially with respect to reviewing the public comments. It's not to say that we can't go ahead and get started with comments that have already been submitted, but we will be bound to the official close of the comment period.
Yes. Thanks for that, Barry. So we'll just see our schedule updated when we've got that last translation done. Good. Okay, so I guess we're into reviewing the second draft. And I was thinking, because of the email that Steve sent around describing the Washington experience, I was wondering, Steve, do you want to take us through this the way you did in Washington? And if you're okay with that, Do we want people to just jump in at each slide, or does it work better if we go through the presentation and then discuss it? Would you mind letting us know what you think?
Rosemary, it's Steve. Be glad to do it, and I do think that folks ought to be able to weigh in with questions as we go.
Okay. In that case, it's Rosemary here. Could I start with the first slide? I think it makes, the introductory slide, Barry, the cover slide. I actually think it makes more sense to put Steve's name there as the presenter. I'm happy to have my name there as chair of this working group. But when I saw it, I thought, well, really, it's Steve who's going to be presenting on the day. So that's my suggestion. What does the group think about that? I got a tick from Cheryl. So, Barry, if you wouldn't mind making that change for me, for us.
And depending on the volume of changes, I did the last round of changes, and I'm happy to hold the pen,
okay.
Depending on the workload here. But,
all right,
Barry, let's you and I, Barry, break down, and we'll compare notes after the call about edits.
Okay, very good. I'm driving the 2.3 right now, so I'll hopefully be able to capture most of them.
Thanks a lot.
Great. Well, I'll gong you on, Steve.
I didn't put this in the email, folks, but the team that I did the dry run for, you're going to get a kick out of this, it was 6 people from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Oh, God.
I mean, these are folks who, you know, have a very unique sort of tunnel vision view of the things that ICANN does, but they are a decade of experience with ICANN. So it was fascinating, and they really embraced the broader concept of consumer protection, trust, choice, and so on. They were not in any way exclusively focused on, you know, trademark protections, I'm glad to say. These are folks that you've seen many times at ICANN meetings.
Okay.
Hey, so we dove right in, and if it's okay, we're going to go through the new version. I guess, Barry, you're going to control the slides, and I'll let you know about how we did, but it took 20 minutes, as I said earlier, to get through the first 8 slides because there were so many questions on, tell me again where this comes from, and that's why this provide updates to the car. A lot of it's for background, and is it sensible that we put the first bullet on the slide that's in front of you is background on this working group?
Yes, Rosemary, I think that's a good idea.
So the first bullet on slide 2 would be background on this work.
Mm.
Something like that, okay.
Yeah.
Great. Any other suggestions? We'll move on. Great. As you guys all know, the next 2 slides are the affirmation. And it's amazing how important it is to remind people about a document that we're simply building on. We're standing on the shoulders of a document, and everybody in the room looks at me and nods when I talk about the affirmation, at least in Washington. They love it as a way to transition ICANN to independence but still give it a constitution that it has to live by. Is that vocabulary you guys are good with?
Yes. Now, it's a very important document, Rosemary, here, and I think standing on its shoulders is a really good idea, and reminding everybody about it all the time is a very good idea.
Beautiful. Okay, so in red, we emphasize, of course, where these words all came from. And all this does is keeps finding roots for our project, roots for our working group that have come before. So anybody who wanted to stand up in the audience and say, I can't believe you picked consumer trust, I just want them to get it early on that they should take those complaints elsewhere, because we are working off of a constitution that's already locked in.
Yes.
All right, slide 4. Thanks, Barry. Here, I don't know whether I want to emphasize it, but this says when GTLDs have been in operation for a year. There's 2 parts of this that aren't in red that some people might pick up on. The affirmation is explicit about the beginning of the clock, but as you know, the resolution we're working off was not explicit as when the clock begins for that 3-year target. That creates some flexibility for us I want to address later on. They also asked me, what about the text after the red? That the review, presumably January of 2014, would also look at the effectiveness of the application and evaluation process and safeguards. And I say, they asked me about that, and I said, absolutely part of the review. It'll be a big review. The board resolution, which will be on the next slide, the board resolution directing us to work on definitions and metrics just focused on the text in red. And that seemed to satisfy them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Any other comments on slides 3 and 4, team? And Rosemary, you just watch for the hands. I'm afraid I...
Yes, I'm watching for the hands. I've got a nice wonderful. Big screen today, Steve.
Wonderful. Okay. All right. And then, so we jump to the board resolution. And, of course, the board resolution right there, establishing the definition, measures, and targets. And I took the liberty of parsing that paragraph up into three chunks. Advice from whom is the first chunk? Advice about what?
Yep.
So second and third.
Now we've got two hands now, Jonathan and Cheryl. I'm not sure if they're just practicing because I'm watching. And now, oh, okay, Jonathan.
Yeah, I just wanted to check that you were awake, Rosemary, and keeping an eye on the right things. thanks for bringing me in. Steve, this is great. I mean, this presentation is clear and good. I wondered if anyone had any comments, and is to, given the questions you've had, whether the board, how deliberate the board's limited focus for this group was relative to the affirmation of commitments, or was there an oversight, are you aware of other review work going on, or other areas, is there another resolution directing other parts of the review, or is it just
that this was unique? This was unique, Jonathan, and Cheryl, Rosemary, and I, on the Wednesday before, this was in Cartagena, Cheryl, Rosemary, and I, and many others, were in a little workshop on a consumer stakeholder group, the idea of a consumer stakeholder group at ICANN. Bruce Tonkin attended. We had a lively debate about whether the affirmation's focus on consumer trust and so on should create a new stakeholder group, or should it be some other way of baking it into ICANN's DNA. And I think that Bruce took away from that discussion. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't speak to Bruce again at that meeting. And it was a surprise to me on Friday at the board meeting when Bruce introduced his own resolution with these language in it. He called it the Zook resolution. I don't think Jonathan's on the call today, because Jonathan had been for years trying to ask ICANN to set some metrics and measures for things so that management would know what it was supposed to be managing to, and we could hold them accountable to things like a real company. And Bruce took that to heart. So I think this is unique. To my mind, it's the first and only time the board has invited the community to help suggest targets and metrics and measures. And
it only addresses a portion of what the affirmation requires. And that will be as it is, I guess. That's what the resolution did, and you've laid it out very clearly as to why we're relatively narrow relative to the affirmation of commitments in our focus, but. I would expect that question may come up. I guess that's not our job, as it were. The job is to focus in on this, on responding to the board resolution, and that's what it is. So thanks. That's helpful background and a good answer.
Holly?
Thanks, Rosemary. It's Holly Raish for the transcript. I'm looking at the list of advisees, have we heard from the GAC at all? Because I was thinking somewhere in the letter there's mention welcoming the GAC advice, but I can't find it. So have we liaised with them at all, and are they part of this group?
Rosemary, why don't you start, and I'll finish the answer with my latest interactions with Heather.
Yes, good. I have briefed the GAC, Holly, about three ICANN meetings ago informally on this work, and then we asked them informally, and I don't think the letter ever went from GNSO Council. But this group has always been open to anyone to participate in our discussions.
Yep.
But we did not hear back from GAC.
Mm.
But more recently, Steve's had a discussion with Heather. So I'll pass the baton to Steve at this point.
Thanks, Rosemary. In Dakar, Holly, I made a public intervention about this at a meeting with the GAC, and I asked, are you guys keeping track of the work we're doing, and we're always open to have you become engaged? And Suzanne Riddell and Heather looked at me like they didn't know what I was talking about, and I repeated that Rosemary had invited them to join some of our early calls. And then I asked the question, I said, did the board send a specific request to the GAC asking for advice, you know, pursuant to the Cartagena resolution on the prior slide? And Suzanne and Heather looked at me and says, well, not to their knowledge. So as far as they know, the board never sent anything. I later checked with Bruce Tonkin, and he confirmed that. So the board passes a resolution on the Friday of the meeting when everyone's already gone, and they just, I guess, expected everyone would read the resolution, because they never actually sent a request for advice, a formal request for advice to anyone.
What?
That's unbelievable. I know, isn't that? So the good news is the GAC is very interested. Both Suzanne and Heather followed up with us. And last week when we published our draft advice, after this group discussed it, I specifically sent copies to Suzanne and Heather. And they were really excited about it. Heather wrote back, and I think I shared with all of you on the list, Heather's email asking for a staff briefing. And I don't know whether, Barry, that would be you as the staff briefing the GAC, or whether those of us from the working group would be allowed in to do the briefing. What do you think, Barry?
Steve, this is Barry. To be quite honest, I don't have an answer for that question. Maybe even a combination of both, but I'll have to find out.
If the GAC wants a briefing anytime, we'll do it, you know, because members of this working group, we will have boots on the ground starting Friday night.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Cheryl?
Thanks, Rosemary. Cheryl for the transcript record. A couple of points. I put my hand down and then I thought I'd better pop it back up again. Jonathan, just to follow on from the answers to your question, we also need to recognise the absolute discretion and ability for the review team when it is formed, which is a independent review team, remember, to do a whole lot of stuff. And what Bruce, I believe, having talked to him at the time, was concerned about, and in fact was already concerned about, which was one of the reasons he came to our meeting, Rosemary and Steve, is the lack of cold hard data for such a analysis to go for. It was right at the time where the need for baseline metrics had been discussed in the accountability and transparency review team. And I think being the good little engineer that he is, he was trying to do some prior preparation to prevent a piss poor performance. Holly, the other thing is with GAC, it is always easier for GAC to respond to a piece of paper that they can send around to all their member countries and have discussed. And so in many ways, the very best opportunity for them to get their teeth chewed into all of this sort of stuff is with something like our draft letter that's gone out for public comment now, but the travesty that is the assumption that if you do something in resolution, the world will, of course, rush to the minutes, read it and respond is something I think we need to watch very closely with the ICANN board. And I would note that ALAC and CCNSO have not been formally invited either. This is a GNSO working group, of course, Holly, and the ALAC's representation in it is simply a matter of us not wanting to replicate work. So this is simply a GNSO response to that board request. But we've got a strong ALAC interaction with it, which is fine, because we want to make sure it's covering our workload as well. The CCNSO may be in a very, very similar position to the GAC and only in an ability to react to our letters. The other thing I just wanted to say was with the staff briefing, Barry, you might want to check, are you sure she wasn't asking for the GAC staff to brief the GAC, in which case you'd have to be talking to their secretariat?
This is Barry. I haven't seen that request at all, so I'm not sure how to respond just yet.
Well, we might just need to double-check, because their people wouldn't have a foggy idea what this is all about, and it would be really good to get in early and offer all of our services, as Steve was indicating.
This is Rosemary. I think it would be a good idea, Barry, to be a bit on the front foot about this, because as we've found over the last few months, the concepts that we're grappling with are really very tricky, as are the measures and the targets. So it would be preferable if people could at least start by looking at work we've all done. They can then decide to reject that and propose something else. But it would be an awful situation if we wound up, if you like, with dueling metrics, because people just went down the path under their own steam. So if you could attempt to close that loop for us by checking out who should be briefing whom and when, knowing that our working group participants in Costa Rica are very willing to be a part of that endeavour, that would be very helpful. And you might just need to let us know by email, because people will be on the move quite shortly, won't they?
And to make life easy, Rosemary, I just posted the text of Heather's reply to me last week.
Okay, great.
And you can see in there, she says, I believe we requested a staff update on this topic for the GACS Saturday afternoon session, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
And Rosemary, this is Barry. I'll happily take the action item. The only thing that I'll mention is, and it's been a week or so since I've seen the schedule, but I don't recall seeing that as an agenda item on the proposed GNSO GAC session, but I'll definitely follow up and send out the information to the list.
Right, but let's keep in mind, look at Heather's note. There's two parts of it. The first sentence is, he asks me, well, I'm representing as part of a GNSO session with the GAC, and the only reason that would happen is if Stefan puts it on the GNSO GAC agenda. And John Berard, who's our liaison to GNSO, made that request to Stefan. We don't really know whether he'll put it on. That probably won't be worked out until the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two sentences, she says, I believe we requested a staff update for the GACS meeting on Saturday, which doesn't involve GNSO.
That's right. Which goes to my point, Steve, that if it's their staff, then we need to make sure they've got the right material to work with, what? And know that we're available if they want.
Which staff are we talking about? The GAC doesn't have any staff.
They have a secretariat, don't they?
Not anymore, right? Not anymore, Barry.
That's totally gone, is it? I thought it was replaced. Barry?
I think he's gone.
Well, I know that he's gone, but I didn't realize he wasn't replaced.
Yeah, there's an ongoing GAC problem about who's going to pay for the staffer, and my impression is they don't have one. That staff is probably Barry.
Excuse me, this is Julie. I just want to let you know that we do actually have a staff person that's helping out there right now. So that's Jeannie
Julie.
Ellers.
Great, Julie.
We can liaise with her. You know, that's like a temporary solution so that, you know, we can be ready for Costa Rica, and then we'll see what goes from there.
Julie, thanks. Who's your staffer that's helping the GAC out?
Jeannie Ellers.
Thank you.
Yep, and that's just the stopgap to, you know, get stuff done when we need to get done.
And if that staffer, Jeannie, needs any help, all of us are there to help her. We can give her the slides, or we can give the slides. We can do whatever they need.
Yep, we'll jump through hoops if she asks.
Sounds good. I'm sure she'll be glad to hear that.
Hey, this slide, by the way, on this slide itself, the previous version contained, I think it contained the next sentence of the resolution, which said, provided by a March 2011 San Francisco meeting. In the interest of focusing, I left that off of here. I'm happy to suggest to them that the board expected a rather rapid response to this, and we're still in the process of formulating.
I think that's a sensible selected edit.
Right. next slide. And this is simply a recap for people. We don't spend any time on this slide. Let's dive right into it. All right, we set up our purpose. Here, some of this is highly nuanced because we are not advising the board directly. That's the first paragraph. We're not advising the board directly. We're preparing draft advice with community input, which we will hand to each of those four ACSOs. Our charter came from GNSO, but we're not trying to exclude anyone, and we won't try to restrict where the advice goes.
Yep.
And Cheryl, you're going to be there on Wednesday when we give this. Any of you who are there, please chime in. And it would be great to hear ALAC representatives sitting right up there with us during the presentation, chiming in, helping to buttress this cross-community spirit we have.
Yep.
Okay.
Barry, one more thing on the previous slide. I'm sorry. I wanted to clarify that last point. Now, Rosemary's been a real stickler to be sure on that last point that we are that we in, we don't intend to limit in any way what their team is going to do. And again, I put early 2014 there because that affirmation review text that we reviewed earlier in the presentation said 1 year after the first delegation. Are we all comfortable sort of assuming the first delegations would occur January 2013?
Yes, Steve, and even if it was February or March, that's still early.
That's right.
The middle paragraph, Barry, we'll stay on there a moment longer. The middle paragraph is our aspiration in that if the board ends up embracing these definitions, metrics, and targets, well, then naturally you don't want to wait until 3 years out to look at them. The hope is that ICANN would manage toward achieving the targets that are defined as part of managing to objectives, which is the way companies do try to run. When they can, they try to run towards the achievement of stated and agreed-upon goals.
I like that, Steve, but can I make a suggestion for two reasons? One, it will fit on the slide better, and two, it will make the other things pop, or all things pop. Can we move that paragraph to a size that is one size or maybe one and a half sizes in font smaller?
Sure.
Yeah, it goes back to the old, you know, use of different things for emphasis.
You're saying all three paragraphs smaller?
No, only the middle paragraph. The two provide guidance for ICANN to manage. If we make that a size smaller or a one and a half size smaller font, then it'll make all three paragraphs pop and it'll actually fit on your slide better.
Okay, by me.
Thank you.
Next slide, Barry.
I actually did a course on all that boring stuff once, so occasionally some of it drips out of my mouth.
Okay. Hey, I did spend time on this one only because I know that I was in a meeting with Wendy Seltzer last week in New York, and Wendy reminded me that we might be bold to claim consensus with respect to the proposed metric, because Wendy didn't want the consumer trust metric to include a holding registries to their intended restrictions and promises.
Yeah, well, one voice doesn't make a whole leap.
Right, and I said, fine, we'll note that it wasn't consensus, but I wrote the word close consensus. I could put the word strong, or I don't. It's close, meaning it's not completely total.
Yeah. But.
And then I think the end of it is new to people. When I presented this at USPTO, they actually weren't aware that there's now a two-step comment process at ICANN, initial then replies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I put both dates in there.
Barry's just asked a question in the chat about should we add close for the three-year target. Rosemary here. My own view is no, because the discussion around the targets with the people that were there, we did gain consensus on those.
I would agree, and I have no note from anyone, including Wendy, that would indicate otherwise.
Okay, good. So now, Steve, you were just making the point about the two-stage process.
That's right, and now I want to give an editorial comment to the folks on this call. Suzanne Riddell, that's the U.S. GAC representative, had me describe a little bit about this at a meeting over at the Commerce Department last Monday. at the end of it, she said, well, when are they going to close these comments? And I said, well, they would close April 2nd. She said, oh, my goodness, the GAC, we're just never going to get our stuff in time. We may have to ask for an extension. And I didn't react one way or the other, just giving you guys a heads up.
Yeah.
There may be some requests for an extension.
Well, Steve, the thing is, though, assuming that we get any comments in by 2nd of April, then we by definition go into the reply comment, which would automatically give the GAC to the 23rd. If we can surreptitiously find out from Suzanne and the rest of GAC, or whoever the subcommittee that's going to hold the pen on this might be, is that if the 23rd is enough, well, then fine. But if not, well, there's two things. They can put in a placeholder in the second saying we will need an extension and indicate the date, and that will automatically trigger the second phase anyway. Or being a advisory committee, ALAC is discussing this at the moment as well. Advisory committees, of course, are not bound in any way, shape or form to the public comment period. We can do what we like, when we like, to whom we like, providing it's relevant to our purpose. And so whilst none of us want to step out of the new design of public comment, and while we feel that early intervention and proper policy process would be enhanced by early interaction with the advisory committees, and that's all the advisory committees, including ESAC, we still have that ability to take their advice in at any time.
And Rosemary here, Barry's making the very good point that, of course, the windows are open longer because of the translation
process. Barry, will we know the dates by the time we meet with the GAC in Costa Rica? Because then we can maybe do a point out that these dates are now edited to the new figures. Steve can say that while he presents it.
This is Barry. I hope so. We'll get with the translation department to try to get a firm date on when they intend to finish the last translation.
Can I encourage you to suggest that certain people, use my name freely, it can't be a need to, it's a must have from them. We need the drop dead date. Because it's because of the presentation.
Yeah. And well, Rosemary, let's leave that with Barry to see what's possible, and then this slide can be updated closer to the presentation day.
Even if
that's
it's
great. This is Steve. I wanted to also say that I don't think we want to publicly say on Wednesday that, well, everybody has really till the 23rd for comments because of the reply window. I mean, technically, at least, this reply window is not supposed to raise new points, but only responses to comments that were filed in the initial phase. That's the
that's
way
right.
we designed it. May not always work that way, but that's the intention, so we shouldn't try to encourage people to wait till the 23rd.
And there's always a risk that if nothing comes in, then reply doesn't even start.
Yeah, yeah, but there's already comments in on this one.
Okay.
When we, everybody ready when we go to the next one?
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Barry. This is a new one. I designed this one because of all the questions about dates and processes. So let's take a few moments to let you absorb this and have you make edits to it if you think it's a good idea to keep something like this. Notice the timeline doesn't even begin until we're pretty much done in May.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hmm.
Rosemary here, I think that's good and very, very helpful. It's a really great addition to the pack.
Yep. Absolutely.
Barry and members of staff that are on the call, there's a line in there that says staff begins measuring, and that's meant to say you're just the mechanisms we all thought and the sources we all thought would be turned on so the data's captured.
Yep.
That seem okay to you?
It's Holly, for the record. Just a question. It may be that some of the stat, the begin measuring, I'm just wondering if there isn't a lot of preparatory work that will happen such that maybe there's a timeline that says staff begins to set up ability to or whatever, putting mechanisms in place? Or is that
Holly, this is Steve. I hope that's the case, and let's assume that it is, but do you think that it's necessary to show it to the community that way? Do we need to give them that extra breakdown?
Maybe not. It's just me thinking, me looking and thinking, well, I hope they've done a lot of work beforehand.
Well, the good news is we tried to design metrics and measures that were measurable, and
okay.
Barry kept our feet to the fire at every step. And that's why there's a column called Source and a column called Difficulty Obtaining and Reporting. We wanted to be sure that the stuff we designed could be found.
No, I read all that. I understand that.
And then I have the next line there is the affirmation review of the new GTLD program, and it doesn't even become organized until 1 year after the first delegation. So I've mapped that to 1 year after the first delegation, which we think would be probably January of 2013.
Steve.
Olivier?
Thank you, Rosemary. It's Olivier for the transcript. I just have a question here. Looking at the diagram of the timeline on page 9, we look at the 3-year targets from January 2012 to January 2015. Obviously, we only start measuring from January 2013, so I don't see how we can retro measure and then have 3-year targets.
Some of them are pre data points.
Yeah, that's a great question, and this is definitely a finesse point. As you know, the board just said the word 3-year targets. The board didn't tie its resolution to the first delegation. In fact, the board wrote the resolution at a time a year ago. I also wanted to remind you that the affirmation review is more than just the delegation activity. The affirmation review includes an evaluation of the whole program of application evaluation.
Huh.
And that application evaluation starts, it starts in May. So there's enough, it's fuzzy enough about when that 3-year target starts that it behooves us to encourage the community just to start it at a point so that the 3-year targets will come in before the affirmation review is done, which is at the end of 2014. See, it'd be a shame if the affirmation review team finished its work several months before the 3-year targets were compared to the 3-year actuals. So maybe no one else has thought it through before, but Olivier, you sparked it right away, and I did it on purpose, taking advantage of the ambiguity in the language in order to align things so that they would work. And to make them align, we want those measurements to occur versus the targets so that the review team can incorporate those differences in its report.
Very good point.
And the other thing is, of course, that some of our measures are pre- and post-delegation of this round of new GTLD, so that's why they need to be from 12.
And we can rationalize, thank you, Cheryl, for that, because we will be able to rationalize quite a bit. But the good news is that all the TLDs will be up for at least 1 year and some as much as 2 years. At the point when these measurements will be taken and compared, they'll all have 1 to 2 years of operating experience. So I think we'll avoid the criticism that these 3-year targets will be imposed before the new TLD operators have got all the kinks out. You guys all right with that?
Yeah, Cheryl, here, Rosemary's battery's low. I just want to let you know you've got Holly's hand up and Barry's hand up too.
Thanks, Cheryl. So we'll go Barry. And Natalie, would you mind doing a dial-out to my mobile?
Barry? I didn't realize you were still on the call, Rosemary. Sorry. No.
Yeah, no.
I thought you'd actually blip out.
Okay, Barry, you start talking and I'll hang up this phone before it dies and wait for the other call. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Rosemary. Steve, just a quick question. Shouldn't the compare versus 3-year targets actually be January 2013 to 2016?
Barry, were you online? The last 5 minutes of conversation were about that very point. and what we concluded is that the affirmation review is more than just post-delegation. It's supposed to also evaluate ICANN's evaluation process for application. So the board resolution was not clear about when the three-year target begins. And we have an incentive to align things so that the targets can be considered by the evaluation review team, which would finish its work, if they're like the rest of the review teams, roughly a year after they organize. So we wanted to align things, Barry, on purpose like this, because we don't have strict guidance from the board resolution to know when their three-year target clock was supposed to start, if they passed the resolution in 2010, for that matter. But Barry, it's going to be a question we're going to definitely have to deal with, and we want to say that normatively, the targets should be evaluated by the review team, because that's really the whole point of this. I would hate to have the targets not even kick in until the review team finished its work.
Steve, I've also got my hand up. I understand what you're saying, but I do understand the confusion of the terminology, and I'm just wondering if there isn't a word change.
Take out the word 3 year and just make it a target. How about that?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because otherwise people are going to look at that and say, well, that's interesting, 12 to 15, but you're not measuring. So to avoid the kind of questions that arise just from this, maybe a slight rewording to indicate what you're measuring, because right now it sort of doesn't make sense that you're measuring something when you haven't had the targets and the measurements in place for a year. So it's just a wording thing. But
change, I guess, is the very last item on the timeline could just say compare versus targets.
Yeah, something like that actually doesn't raise that the obvious question.
Okay, but the board will, sooner or later, the board will have to sort this out. When the board does the second thing in the timeline, where they consider the advice and they adopt the metrics, that's where they will have to get a little more explicit than just phrases like 3 year. They're going to have to put dates on things.
I hope they'll
sort it out.
Could I make the suggestion, just for the minute, that we hold our decision on this timeline? Because I'm just wondering whether we might have this in the wrong spot, and that if we kept this timeline until after we've gone through the discussion about the definition and the metrics, that discussion would enable people to understand what we are meaning by this comparison versus three-year targets. The board may still provide further clarification down the track, but I'm just wondering if we hold the timeline but put it in the deck after we've had the definitions, whether our intentions would be clearer.
Let's, for sake of the argument, Barry, would you advance to slide 16? So right after 16, Rosemary?
Yes, Steve, that's what I'm thinking. See how it works at that point in the deck.
Yeah, and I guess, Cheryl, here for the record, Steve, that would simply mean that any questions early on, you simply say, we'll deal with that at the end of the deck.
Fine by me. What's everyone else think?
And yes. Also, I agree with Rosemary, because if you look at the next steps, you've actually go back May 2012 and so forth, so you're starting to pick up what you're talking about, which is this is more than just targets. So it actually then starts to answer the question that Olivier asked. If you see
and,
what I mean.
And Rose, sorry, Holly.
No, go ahead. It's okay.
Rosemary again. The other thing that I think it would stop us from doing is getting into a process discussion about timing and leave us to concentrate on the actual substance of our work. And I think that would be a better flow, because we wouldn't want the workshop presentation to have, you know, half of its time spent on this timetable and not...
No, you're exactly right. I would agree completely, especially because the word three-year target was relatively imprecise when it was put into the board resolution. And we're dealing with a lot of imprecise moving parts that we're trying to align, and it would be crazy to burn 10 minutes of discussion time on that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, let's see how it works anyway.
Barry, back to slide 10. Thanks. So it will turn out that the way we'll move then is that right after the efforts on slide 8, we'll go directly to this slide,
yes,
which is the first of the three definitions. And the only thing that's different here is that the previous draft had a comma in there after Internet users, and it was a stray comma, so I took that out. And I parsed the consumer trust definition into its three component parts.
Yeah.
Any comments on that? Move on.
Holly?
Just a question. I was not as sorry to come in at this really late stage, but when you talk about ICANN policies, does that include compliance with the RAA?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just wondering whether you put it in, and the reason is that Cheryl Olivier and I sat in on a teleconference yesterday where compliance is kind of front and center, and it's... It is becoming a bit of an issue. Just wondering.
Should be.
We won't go there. I'm just wondering if it's clear to everyone that policies includes the RAA, and if so, then I'm happy to leave it.
I hope that on this slide we'll all say that policies means all consensus-based policies to which the contract parties are bound. And they're articulated often in contracts,
yes.
They're articulated in RAA, et cetera.
Yes.
We're not going to change the definition, Holly, but I don't think you're suggesting
no, no, no,
that. You're just wanting to...
I'm clarifying what you mean.
Yeah, very good.
Clarifying its inclusiveness, Holly. My only suggestion is just a visual one, if you bold or colour the ands, to make the point that these are kind of three limbs in our definition on consumer trust.
All right. Barry?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe bold is a bit much. Maybe make it gray or something so it's easier.
Yeah, that would work. Just a contrast gray. Yeah.
Contrast gray rather than bold. Okay, next slide, number 11. Bounce right away to the metrics that'll fit in for consumer trust. I went back to the Barry had created these three bullet metric slides, and I went back and tried to true them up a little closer to the document, the advice document.
Mm-hmm.
These probably deserve a little scrutiny from the folks on this call to be sure these are the key items that we want to begin a discussion over. Now, I'm going to confess to you that in my meeting with the USPTO, I brought this slide up, and I literally skipped it and said, you know, with this small crowd around the table, we'll get into the actual document and look at the advice in the table when it comes to what the metrics are. An hour later, I realized that was a terrible mistake. I should have gone through the bullets as you guys designed them.
Yeah.
They're much easier to talk about than to get into the nitty-gritty of the way we've got the table. So I am a believer in spending a good deal of time on slide 11, giving people a chance to talk about it. Now, what happens if in the middle of slide 11, somebody really probes from the audience and says, well, I don't know, we're not going to take a lot of questions that are live, it may not come up, but somebody says, well, what do you mean by obtain availability? What is an adverse decision? What do you mean about applicable law? That forces us to jump forward into the table, which is the appendix of the slide deck.
Or it forces you to say, when we get to the table, we'll discuss that completely?
Trick with that one, Cheryl, is that implies that we fully intend to walk through every row of the table, and we probably don't. I learned that lesson, too.
True. So, all right. Well, how about we'll have the opportunity to look at that in greater detail when we get to the table, and that way you can just do some exemplars.
It certainly could work. Do the folks on this call believe that we should open it up for audience questions throughout the presentation or only when we get to questions in about three more slides.
Rosemary here. I think with this, the density of this material, that we need to actually force feed people, you know, the whole information before we then get into questions. I think we
Cheryl, here, one way around that is to just, as we've done in some discussion forums before, is take questions on little bits of paper. There's some sticky notes. You know, people can bring them up and give it to staff during it, and that allows people to, you know, although that said, if they're going to do that, they can jot them down and we'll come up to the microphone at the end. Yeah, okay. I've just talked myself out of my own idea.
So I think you disagreed with Rosemary.
Yes, I did. I was disagreeing with Rosemary. I was finding a way around it, but then I've now disagreed with myself and I'm back with Rosemary. That was a complete 360, Steve. I do that sometimes.
I think, Steve, if you can just explain to people that this material is dense and we need people to kind of see the whole pack. But I really like Cheryl's idea of saying to people that if they've got a question, if they can just note it down, and it may be that by the time you get through the next slide, their question has been answered, and maybe not, but writing the questions down because of the density of this material, I think, is a good suggestion, Cheryl.
What we could do, Steve, Cheryl, for the record again, is pick up on what Rosemary just said, and that is in the intro, before slide one, you know, moves to slide two, just give them a heads up. You know, they should stop doing their banking and their email and their Skype chatting, because this material is dense and important, and we're going to go through the slide deck, and they may be well advised to make a note of questions as we go through the slides. Some questions may be answered on following slides, and that might assist them in the Q&A section later.
All right, so that's what we have on slide two, which says provide an update, review the draft advice, and then have a community-wide discussion.
Yep.
So yeah, we're going to explain up then that we'll press, it's dense material, so we will press through a quick summary, not the details, the quick summary of the draft advice, and then hopefully get into the questions. And after all, this isn't secret. They've all had our actual draft advice with the details for 2 weeks at this point.
Steve, we're talking humans here.
Steve, I apologize, and Rosemary, if you've covered this already, but I guess then under those circumstances, it's important to describe the way in which this is set out. In other words, to let the audience know that there is this table that we'll come to at the end. Now, while you may not want to go through all of the metrics in the table, that's... Yeah. Because otherwise the natural question is, well, how are you going to measure uptime value? What is this? Tell me a little bit more about this. Whereas if you can say, look, A, it's dense, B, so we'd like to cover, you know, go through the presentation insofar as it's possible and then take questions at the end. And by the way, there is a table of metrics that's available as part of the draft advice and for comment as well. So that's known that even while we may not go through it in the presentation in fine detail, it is how it will be measured and how it's presented.
Yep. So, Jonathan, just to understand, so right here on this slide, before we begin to summarize the bullets, we might do a quick jump, you know, to slide 20 and say, yep, you know, we're prepared to discuss with you each and every row of the detail and explain how it's constructed. But
well, I think even just to simply highlight that there is a table with
okay,
a series of measures in, because that may not, I mean, if one isn't familiar with this, you may not even know that, you know. So it's really just saying that each of these measures there's specificity and detail on each of these measures, but these are the primary metrics.
Yeah.
And they're all covered in a table, but that detail.
I think that's a good idea.
Right up at slide two. I think that's a good idea to give a little cameo appearance of slide 20. Cheryl, for the record, by the way. And the other thing is, I mean, as Olivia's pointing out, this could go to a five-hour presentation if we go too far, too deeply, too quickly. That's when you pull the, yes, well, you see us all here, you know, find us in the corridors and we can bore you silly with the questions and answers at any time during the next 5 days. Sorry, I've got to mute. My dogs are being stupid.
All right, team. So I think we've made a consensus that we're going to respectfully ask people to bear with us through some very dense material, and we're going to summarize the metrics we've come up with. And then in the Q&A, get happy to discuss the details of the particular targets we've set up and the details behind each of the measures.
Yes.
All right. If we do it that way, then let's just at least look at the 8 bullets on this particular page, number 11.
Yeah.
And see whether you folks think we've captured the right ones and the right words.
Yes.
So you would cross-reference this with your true advice document beginning on page 7. Barry, I think I have a typo. The second bullet should be survey of consumer trust in the DNS. I didn't mean to say on.
Rosemary here. Steve, I think that's good. It's, I mean, there's an awful lot, you know, covered on that slide, but it gives people a real feeling for metrics associated with consumer trust, as we've defined it. I think it's really good.
Olivier, did I capture your the last three bullets were yours? Domain takedowns, phishing and fraud, and who is?
Mm-hmm.
You're good with that?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Thanks.
All right, no other questions on 11. Let's bounce to the second of our three, which is choice.
Mm-hmm.
We first thing we did is repeat the definition of consumer, and then I have parsed the consumer choice definition into two pieces.
It's Olivia here, and in gray as well.
That's right.
And Rosemary here. Steve, was there any discussion about repeating the definition of consumer? Did your trial group find that helpful or confusing? Or?
You know what? They didn't bring that up. I think I might have just said we've repeated it here for convenience. You know?
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it works well. I just was wondering. Okay.
Yeah. Good question. Okay, next one. Again, here I'm summarizing some of the choice items, which for us begin on page 9 of our document. Okay. And these are complex, page 9 and 10.
Yes,
it was tough to figure out which ones to bring forward into the summary slide.
Rosemary here. Steve, I think you've got the main ones covered. I just thinking from a user's point of view, I think they're all the big issues, being able to access and understand what the registry is really offering me, having a choice in scripts or languages other than English, a choice of jurisdictions. You've brought forward the issue of defensive registrations, and the issue of geographic diversity. I think they're the big issues there. Anyone else? No?
You can bet that our main topic of interest is that defensive purposes. That's going to really get the attention, and there'll be 1,000 hands go up, and I'll say that we were quite explicit about the definitional assumptions for defensive. And you'll see all that in our document on page 11, and we're happy to spend as much time you want at Q&A on that.
Yes, yes. And Steve, it's such a good reason for being explicit about where the Q&A is going to happen, because you're right. The whole session could just focus on this particular issue.
I'm afraid so.
Okay. So we go to the next slide?
Please.
Mm-hmm.
This one's easy, and I didn't think it was necessary to parse it up into components. Anybody?
No, I think it's fine.
Next one.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have a summary, some of the metrics, which begin in our document on page 11. A little bit easier.
Rosemary here, I think those, you've captured the main issues there. You might, Steve, just have to talk about why we've got the TLDs, given that the focus of all of this is the GTLDs, but we need that view picture to understand what's happening in the GTLD space.
Great point. I'll explain that we view that they compete with each other. That's why G's and C's compete with each other, and we wanted to cover them all. But we have separate metrics for the TLDs versus just the G's. In an earlier draft, in my own mind, I had written 2x growth in number of TLDs and 10x growth in number of GTLDs. I had written the 2x and 10x at the beginning of those bullets.
Interesting. Olivier?
Thanks, Rosemary. It's Olivier for the transcript. I also fell into this, just reading the slide here, thinking growth in number of TLDs, growth in number of GTLDs. It looks so similar. You just add in total number of TLDs in operation so as to really make it explicit, we're looking at the whole space?
You're only, put the word all in front of the first TLD, growth in number of all TLDs in operation.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, excellent. Good.
Yeah.
Good one. That will serve to differentiate it.
Excellent. What does the team think about putting a 2X and 10X in front of the word growth on the first two lines?
Risky.
Risky, huh?
Rosemary, I wouldn't do it, Steve. I would just leave all the measures and for the tables. Holly?
Could I suggest that you reverse the first two so it's growth in number of GTLDs and then growth in number of all TLDs, because then it makes it clear that GTLD is only part of. And I think that that's clearer if you change the order of presentation?
I guess so. But I do think that everybody's going to yawn because, of course, the number will grow. These two bullets, we wasted time on them discussing what we're going to do with that because I'd find myself feeling silly even talking about them without some indication of the target, the 2X and 10X. And there's where they're really boring to just say these without adding a little color in terms of the target.
Steve, I disagree with Rosemary. I'm also putting the 2X and 10X in brackets in the lines.
But why would you do that for those and not for the others?
Funny you should bring that up. I have a draft where I did it for them all, and it makes it extremely, extremely challenging. But we could go there. I mean, if I want to jam through it.
Steve,
then you really are going to have a five-hour presentation.
No, I don't think so, Holly, because all it's doing is picking out the bits. Sorry, Cheryl again. It's picking out the bits from the table. And in some ways, Steve, doing it there just, you know, in a smaller font in brackets will make people remember when we get to the table that that's what it's linked to.
Okay.
What Rosemary, what they'll do, as soon as you put a number on any one of these proposed metrics, the conversation will stop and the focus will be on that number. And you won't get through the overview. Remember, this is an overview of what we're proposing to measure, and it doesn't matter which one of these you use, but as soon as you put a number down, then the focus will be on the number, and the discussion will stop right then and there. So it's my strong advice to the group to just insist that this part of the presentation is a conceptual overview of the proposed metrics. And then you could give the audience a reward by saying, if you let me get through this, then we'll get to the table where all the numbers are. So is the table the next slide, Steve, or the first table?
No, we've still got to go through the timeline, next steps, and then we get to the Q&A.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, keep in mind that maybe verbally I say growth in number of all TLDs, and for those of you who've read ahead, you know that we were suggesting a doubling in the number of all TLDs and also GTLDs, and you'll see that we think it ought to be 10 times as many as the current 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I could say it if you think it would be okay. I realize that that, too, might focus attention.
Hmm.
Otherwise, it feels a little dull to say that we have been so bold as to say that there ought to be an increase in the number of TLDs.
But it's no duller than anything else. You know, we said if you go back...
In the sense that we haven't said what we're comparing it to. All right, so you share my dilemma, and we'll keep it as simple as we can in order to get through it.
I'm sure it'll work out on the day. Okay.
All right, I guess we are ready for next step slide.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Any questions on this?
Rosemary here, only that you'll just need to mention the fact that our translation... process will move these times.
Barry, could I ask you to put a parenthetical under the first bullet with whatever we have on how what would we say about translations?
The English version of the advice letter is out for translations to the other UN5 languages. I'll come up with something short and sweet to put as a sub-bullet under there.
Good. So after the word draft advice in the first bullet, put in parens, E-N, paren, and then make a new bullet that indicates, you know, X other languages coming soon. And do I understand it that each language gets its own 42 days?
Yes.
I thought what we did was when the last translation is available, then we shift the clock from that date 42 days. I wonder if someone from staff could just clarify this for all of us.
Right. As soon as we get the last translated advice letter, it will open up the 40-day window per the original one that's submitted now.
Yep. Okay.
All right, and that would mean that we really don't want to review and consider all comments till the close of that final window.
Rosemary here, we might want to do a little work along the way, but certainly we're committed to the final window. Cheryl in the chat is making a good point that we perhaps just put a sub-bullet in there about the translation. I think it would be quite nice in this presentation on this particular subject to let the community know that we are committed to having the translations done so that the input can be as wide as possible across the community, given that we're talking about consumer matters.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Barry, so come up with some clever way to in the second bullet and just stick EN in front of after the word draft advice in the first bullet so we're clear we only mean that one.
Steve, Cheryl here. Yeah, I agree totally, but I think what Rosemary said, it shouldn't be lost that we're doing this presentation in an area that is predominantly Spanish-speaking, of course, but in a region which English is definitely not a favoured language, and that they are politically and geopolitically very keen on local languages, including, of course, Portuguese. So I think this would be a huge brownie point winner and something very important.
Okay, that's a great point. If I forget to make it, I hope that you will.
And Rosemary,
right, let's go to the next slide. Would be what we've already covered, which was the timeline.
Yep.
Yep.
And then we stop. And ideally, we have 90 minutes. So ideally, we've used no more than, say, 30 or 40 of the 90. Maybe we're used half of it. It would be outstanding if we only use half the allotted time by the time we get to slide 17.
Mm-hmm. So, Rosemary here, at this stage, we've not shown the tables.
Well, we might have done an advance flash preview to Jonathan Robinson's point. It would only have been to make sure they knew there's a lot of substance in there.
Yes.
But to your point, Rosemary, once we get to slide 17, when the first question that comes up which references anything in the table, whoever's controlling the PowerPoint has to be quick to bring up the slide that references their particular item. What about that?
I think that's a great idea, Steve. A great idea. Yeah. Whatever the issue is, if we then bring up the slide with the table that references that issue, then that will really bring that to the fore. It's a great way of doing it.
Yeah. Barry, would you advance just one to slide 18? Thank you. And you'll see that I got rid of the background on all of these tables to make more room for a larger font.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are okay with that. And
good.
Okay.
Good. Steve, Rosemary, you'll have to just, the minute this first example of the table comes up, explain to people how the table works, like sorts, anticipated difficulties.
That's right.
Yep.
Right, you're right, and it might well be that in that preview, and this was Jonathan Robinson's idea, that under consumer trust, if I bring up this slide momentarily, there's nothing controversial in the slide, thank goodness. So
yes.
I bring the slide up and say that for all of our metrics, there's a lot of detail, including anticipated difficulties, and explain what we mean by obtaining and reporting a source, as well as numerical targets.
Uh-huh.
So I'll do that preview. Like to Barry, I might say, Barry, would you jump to slide 18 quickly, and then you'll pop it up. We'll discuss it for 30 seconds, and then I'll come back to the bullets, something like that. You okay with that?
I think that's great. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, team, we don't need to go through 18 through 20-something. You don't need to do that on this call. So, I guess at this point,
well, I'm happy to... Again, you don't need to do this again.
Yeah, go through Barry. See if I've got any bad formatting problems, Barry. Keep going, and we'll just all give it a quick look.
They just look beautiful, Steve and Barry.
They do look good. I must admit, I actually find this a very nice-looking presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you don't know, I'm not all about look.
there you go. And I did fatten up the three-year target column. I made it wider on some items where the three-year targets were complex.
Lovely.
I know. All these metrics and targets look so friendly now.
Thank you, Rose. It's the right color and friendly.
Rosemary, back to you. Where do you want to go next?
Well, I think we're done. It's
damn good.
One thing I do want to do is I want to ask our guest reviewer, Holly Waite, who's joined us on this call, to just be our kind of new pair of eyes and ears, if you like, to just give us her feedback, and then and then we'll just go back to our agenda. So I think we're going to get an early mark today, folks. Holly.
It's kind of like giving the last presentation before lunch. Everybody wants to go off to breakfast, or at least those in Australia. I find it very useful. I think having read the paper first and thought about it first, it's a lot easier for me. I think there's going to be a lot of questions for the people who haven't sort of read the paper, read the slides before, and so forth. So I think you've got a challenge. But I think that there's enough material in here, so people are going to go away and think very sort of very heavily about this. And I would pick up the comment I made that Cheryl and Olivier would be quite aware of, and that is that the implications for compliance in this document are pretty strong, and I think it's going to be a real issue in Costa Rica. So there may be some very interesting questions and comments on the day.
Cool.
Now you can all go have breakfast or dinner or whatever.
Thank you for that, Holly. That's great. Now, is there anything else that anyone would like to bring forward or discuss on this call today? So I think that brings us to item 6 on our agenda, which is review action items. Is that just reminding us about our schedule? And Barry's just said in the chat that he will use the schedule to really strongly recommend to people that doing the homework before the prayers would be a really good idea.
Yep.
And I guess a little bit of corridor on that during the conference will help as well. So, Barry, now what is item 6, reviewing action items?
That's basically, this is Barry, just basically new action items that came up as a result of the call today. I think I have three of them. The first is to find out the details about the GAC requesting a briefing from ICANN staff or the working group or a combination of both on the weekend session. We'll get with Jeannie Ehlers as well. Second action item is to get with the translation department and determine a delivery date of the last translated advice letter so that we can have our new schedule ready for Costa Rica briefing. And then lastly, I'll make sure to include text to do your homework before attending the session to make sure that's on the schedule.
Great.
Rosemary, Cheryl here.
Yes.
They're all good, Barry, but can we make sure as well that every one of us on stage or however the room is set up have the headsets for the translations to come in clearly? We need to remember that, you know, we've gone a long way to make sure this is, you know, out there in UN languages. There is nothing worse than us having to grab for the headsets and then have them turned on and then put them on our heads. They need to be in your ears or hanging around your neck from the very beginning of the presentation. It just says so much to the non-English speaking communities when you do that right.
Mm-hmm. Good.
They look so awful around one's neck.
Oh, tough shit.
Oh, dear. What about the pictures? The pictures.
Yes. The presentation is so beautiful. People will be...
Bring a nice scarf.
Well, I think we might be done, folks.
Thank you, Rosemary. And Steve. And everybody?
I'm not sure what ungodly time it is, but at this stage I'm intending to just be a little dial-in. So good luck with it all, and we will reconvene, of course, our group after the week is over and see where we take it from there. And just a huge thanks, Steve, to you for all your work on this and to you, Barry. It's really just resulted in a terrific document and a terrific presentation. Okay.
Of course.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.